Let's recite Namo Tassa 3 times first. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Yesterday, my audience requested me to tell more story. So the whole night I think of what story to tell. When my teacher taught me Abhidhamma, he didn't even tell one story. So now, the modern time, the audience are very demanding. And as a speaker, I feel that it's not easy. We have to fulfill their wish. Okay, yesterday we have discussed 7 universals and 6 occasionals. 7 universals must arise with all types of consciousness, whether it's wholesome, unwholesome, resultant, or functional. But 6 occasional is not necessary to arise with all consciousness. It arises only with certain types of consciousness. And these 7 universals and 6 occasionals are called Anya Samana Cetasika, common to others. So when they arise, with wholesome, they become wholesome. And they are common to unwholesome as well. So when they arise with unwholesome, they become unwholesome. So this 13 we call Anya Samana Cetasika, common to others. Now we come to 14 unwholesome factors. Number one is, these 14 unwholesome factors can be divided into 2. 4 are unwholesome universals. Another 10 are unwholesome occasionals. So what are the 4 unwholesome universals? If you see universals, it means that it must arise with all unwholesome consciousness. Occasionals, they do not arise with all, but only with certain types. That's why it's called occasionals. Okay, what are the 4 unwholesome universes? Number 1, delusion, moha. Next, shamelessness of wrongdoing, ahirika. Fearless of wrongdoing, anotapa. Restlessness, udacha. And the 10 unwholesome occasionals, please read together. Greed, loba, conceit, hatred, envy, stinginess, worry, sloth, torpor, and doubt. So what is delusion? Delusion means the characteristic and the salient quality of delusion is blindness. It doesn't mean that your eye is blind. Mentally blind. And the function is to conceal the true nature of an object. What is the true nature of an object?
Ultimate truth,
yes. Then what else? All objects, Buddha say all phenomena are impermanent, suffering, dukkha, and non-self. So this, the function of delusion, because we have the delusion, this delusion conceals the nature of impermanent, dukkha, and non-self. That's why we cannot see. That's why we are mentally blind. Then the manifestation is absence of right understanding. And the proximate cause for delusion is unwise attention. Unwise attention, ayoniso manasikara, means you see things as permanent, as self, as happiness. It's called unwise attention. Or you see things as conventional truth, not ultimate truth. It's called unwise attention. And this delusion, not only blindness, not knowing things as they really are. If we say delusion, there are two types. Number one is not knowing things as they really are. And number two, knowing wrongly. Just like a person who has Catholic. It sees two images. Actually, it's only one, but it sees two images. So it's not only not knowing things, but know wrongly. It's also delusion. And delusion is the root of all that is unwholesome. So all unwholesome consciousness have delusion as a root cause. It must accompany it with all unwholesome consciousness. Number two, shamelessness, ahirika. The characteristic of shamelessness is absence of disgust at bodily and verbally misconduct. Like what happened to Bodhisattva. Even though he is Bodhisattva, but sometimes Bodhisattva also has this shamelessness. This absence of disgust at bodily and verbal misconduct. During one of Bodhisattva's life, he was a hermit. A hermit who possessed 5 psychic power. So one day, he appeared in the garden of Ananda's. At that time, Ananda was a king. So he appeared in the garden. So Ananda was impressed by him and invited him to stay in the palace as his advisor. Then he stayed on. So one day, Ananda happened to go out of the country, and he gave the order to the queen to serve this hermit, Bodhisattva, personally, as a respect. Now you serve personally, mean you show the respect. So one day, when Bodhisattva was out, and the queen waited for him to come back, then this queen felt asleep on the bed. And suddenly, when the Bodhisattva arrived, because of the noise of his rope, then this queen this queen wake up. All of a sudden, the queen's rope fell down. So when the queen's rope fell down, and at that moment Bodhisattva went in and saw her naked body, then Bodhisattva was overcome by lust. So when one was overcome by lust, then one were not shrinking away from evil. So he commit sexual misconduct with this queen. So the proximate cause for this shamelessness is disrespect of oneself. In this case, Bodhisattva, he was a hermit. Hermit was not supposed to commit any sexual misconduct. But when shamelessness arises in a person, then it will not shrink away from the evil. So the manifestation of shamelessness is not shrinking away from evil. And the proximate cause, disrespect of oneself. So he did not respect of himself as a hermit. And he committed this sexual misconduct. So even Bodhisattva also did wrong sometimes. And when the king came back, many people reported to him about this case. But his previous life, he was Ananda. Ananda has a lot of faith to the Buddha. So he did not believe. The king, Ananda, did not believe. He said, I must ask this hermit myself. So he went and asked this hermit. And Bodhisattva, at that time, he felt very shameful about his wrong action. But he told himself, he said, this king has a lot of trust in me. If I tell lies, I say, no, I did not commit any sexual misconduct with your queen, this king will believe in me, because he has unshakable faith in me. But during the body, as we know, Bodhisattva Bodhisattva must fulfill his 10 paramis. One of the paramis is Satcha Parami. Satcha means truthfulness. So, according to commentary, along the round of rebirth, Bodhisattva may commit any wrong deed, like sexual misconduct, but he will never tell lies. So Bodhisattva committed to the king that he has performed this sexual misconduct with his queen. Then King Ananda admonished him. Then Bodhisattva realized his fault, and he found out why he commits such thing is because he associates with human beings. So after that, he decided to went back to the Himalaya. Okay, this is what shamelessness. I try very hard to find a story for you. Okay, the next one, fearlessness of wrongdoing. Anuttapa. The characteristic is absence of fear about bodily and verbal misconduct. Fear about what? Fear about the consequences. Absence of fear about consequences about bodily and verbal misconduct. For example, this Bodhisattva. When you commit any evil, at that moment, the mind is absence of fear of bad consequences. And the function is doing evil things. The manifestation, not shrinking away from evil. And the proximate cause, lack of respect of others. Like Bodhisattva, at that time, he has lack of respect of the queen. That's why he committed that sexual misconduct. And this fearlessness of wrongdoing is compared to a moth, a fly, a moth. It flies directly to flame, not fear of being burned. The next one, restlessness. The characteristic of restlessness is disquiet of an unsettled state of mind, like water whipped up by the wind. I think this one is very easy because you experience it all the time. Like function, unsteadiness, like a flag or banner whipped by the mind, by the wind. And a manifestation, as tilmoy, like a heap of ashes that flies about when hit with a stone. And the proximate cause, unwise attention to the mental disquiet. This four, delusion, shamelessness of wrongdoing, fearlessness of wrongdoing, and restlessness, must accompany it with all unwholesome consciousness. For every unwholesome consciousness involves a mental blindness, which is delusion, to the danger in evil, and a lack of shame at evil deeds, shamelessness, for not being afraid of the consequences of evil deeds, fearlessness of wrongdoing, and an underlying current of restlessness. Now we go to, after the four unwholesome universal, we go to four, another 10, occasionals. The first one is greed, lobha. The characteristic of greed is grasping an object. The function is to stick like meat in a hot pan. I think this gives very good example. When you have greed, you want to grab something, you don't want to let go. So the manifestation is not wanting to give it up. The proximate cause, seeing enjoyment in things that lead to bondage. Like an ant. When the ant sees the honey in the bottle, the ant likes sweet. So when he sees the honey in the bottle, it tastes the honey. When the ant tastes the honey, then he feels pleasure. So when you experience something, you feel pleasure, do you want it again? You want to get it again. This is the greed. So the ant in order to get more and more, because it gets attached to that sweet taste. So in order to get more and more, he go into the bottle. go inside into the bottle and finally drowned in it. That's why swelling with the current of craving for sensual pleasures and existence, greed or craving should be regarded as taking beings into the cycle of birth and death. And it is the origin of dukkha saccha, origin of the truth of suffering. The next one, wrong view. The characteristic of wrong view is unwise interpretation. The function is to presume or seeing wrongly that is eternal soul. The manifestation is wrong interpretation or belief. This is a little bit different from delusion. Delusion clouds the mind. Wrong view views it wrongly. So a bit different. Believing in the mighty creator of the world when there is none is also wrong view. Believing everything precious after death or denying karma and its consequences is also wrong view. Wrong view is rooted in greed and delusion. Wrongly interpret five aggregates as I, my, myself. Then one develops attachment. Thus is rooted in greed. During Buddha's time, there are many people who accept the teaching of the Buddha, which emphasize non-self. All teaching say that there is a self. Either Islam, Christian, all men emphasize that there is self, except Buddha's teaching. Even during Buddha's time, there are many sects also proclaim there is self. Just like Saccaka. Saccaka is Nikanta's son, another sect during Buddha's time. He is a debater and very clever, smart, brilliant speaker. So one day he made a statement before the Vaisari assembly. Then he said, I see no recluse, the head of an order, the teacher of a group, even one claiming to be accomplished and fully enlightened like the Lord Buddha, who would not shivering and tremor and sweat under the armpits if he were to engage in debate with me. So he said this, he made this statement in front of many people. So one day, in front of there were 500 Lichavis gathered in the hall. And this Saccaka went to the hall and told all of them, say, today I will debate with Lord Buddha, recluse Gotama. He didn't say Lord Buddha, he said recluse Gotama. I will debate with him. Please come forth. I will shake Gotama Buddha down and shake him up and thump him about. He told that to the 500 people. Okay, so the 500 people follow him to the place where Buddha stay. Then he posed a question to the Buddha. He said, how does Gotama discipline his disciples? Then the Buddha answered, I teach my disciple all material form are impermanent. All feelings are impermanent, all formations are impermanent, all perceptions are impermanent, and all consciousness are impermanent. And all these five aggregates are non-self. After that, the Saccaka told him, answered, a simile occurred to me. He said, whatever types of seeds and plants, they grow, mature, dependent upon earth, based on the earth. And so also a person has material form as self, he said, Sajaka said. A person has material form as self, and based on material form, he produces merit and demerit. And the Buddha asked him again, did you mean that you assert there is form, form is self? Do you assert that form is self, feeling is self, perception is self, consciousness is self? Buddha asked him. Then he said yes. He said yes. Then Buddha asked him again, if you say there's a self, do you exercise any such power over that material form to say that let my material form be dust, be beautiful, or let my material form not be dust, not beautiful, or let my feeling be dust, let my feeling be always pleasant, or let my feeling not be dust, not always pleasant? Can you exercise, Buddha asked him, can you exercise any such power over these five aggregates? So the Sajaka keep silent, cannot answer. He cannot answer. Then Buddha asked him second time. He still keep silent. The third time, Buddha told him, anybody when asked about me and do not answer properly, his head was split into seven pieces, Buddha told him. So at that moment, there's a split, thunderbolt wielding split dewa on top of the sky, holding the thunderbolt, blessed flame. So this Sajaka and the Buddha saw this dewa, thunderbolt wielding dewa. So Sajaka was very afraid. So he started to look for refuge in the Buddha. Okay, I will answer. I said, I will answer your question. Then Buddha asked him again, do you say five aggregate as self, as permanent? Then he said, no. I asked again one by one, do you say that matter is self? No. Do you say feeling is self? No. Perception is self? No. Up to consciousness. Then Buddha said, what you say before does not agree with what you say afterwards. Before you say there is self. Now I ask you, you say there is no self. So what you said before does not agree with what you said afterwards. And then Buddha told him again, you make a statement in front of the assembly, and you say that I see no recluse, the head of an order, the teacher of a group, even one claiming to be accomplished and fully enlightened, who would not shake, tremble and sweat under the armpit if he were to engage in debate with me. Now I see there are drops of the sweat in front of your head, and all your robes are wet and down to the ground, but there's not even one sweat on my forehead, Buddha told him. So finally he had to say, he has to take refuge in the Buddha. After four lifetimes, this Sajaka become arahant in Sri Lanka. So during Buddha's time, many people proclaim five aggregates as I, my, myself, which is wrong view, Sakkaya Ditthi. Sakkaya Ditthi is also one type of wrong view. Okay. Next, conceit. The characteristic of conceit is haughtiness. The function is self-exaltation. Just like the father-in-law of Buddha, Suppabuddha. His name is Suppabuddha. He is the father of Yasodhara and the father of Devadatta. One day he know the Buddha would be coming for alms round. So he got himself drunk and block the way. Because he didn't, this Supa Buddha did not like the Lord Buddha abandoned his daughter Yasodhara, and also Devarata is the enemy of the Lord Buddha. So because of these two reasons, Supa Buddha has very bad feeling towards the Lord Buddha. So one day he get himself drunk and block the way of the Buddha. Then the disciple of the Buddha asked him to give way. No, you should not block the Buddha's way. Please give way to the Buddha. And Supa Buddha, because of the conceit, that's why the function of conceit is self-exaltation. Supa Buddha said, I cannot give way to the Buddha, who is so much younger than I. So sometimes our age can be the object of conceit, our age, and also our beauty, our wealth, our talent, also can make us feel conceited. So this Supa Buddha, he said, I cannot give way because he is younger than me. So he did not want to give way to the Buddha. So Buddha has no choice, so he turned back. And the Supa Buddha asked his follower to follow Buddha back to monastery and listen what Buddha say. Then the Buddha say, this Supa Buddha was very conceited. He blocked the way of the enlightened one. Within the 7 days, he will be swallowed by the earth. He said that. So the spy went back to tell the Supa Buddha. Oh, Supa Buddha dukkha. So he said, a king said that he would take special precautions to prove that the Buddha was wrong. He's still very conceited. So he climbed up to the 7th story upstairs. He didn't want to go down. For 7 days, he didn't want to go down because Buddha said he would be swallowed by the earth. So he stayed upstairs for 7 days. On the 7th day, the royal horse lost his senses and started neighing and kicking about furiously. And this, no one can tame this royal horse except the king Supa Buddha. So at that time, Supa Buddha forgot. So he stepped down. The moment he stepped down, he was swallowed by the earth. This is the result of conceit. That's why conceit should be regarded as madness. It's rooted in greed. The next one, hatred. The characteristic of hatred is aversion, resentment, irritation, annoyance and anger. And the function is to burn up its support or to be spread like a drop of poison. When a drop into your body, it spread very fast to the whole body. So when you get angry, your body trembling, your heart beat faster, and your face turn to red. Sometimes your face become distorted because of anger. And a manifestation as persecuting, like an enemy who has got his chance. It's a violent striking of the mind at an object with the destructive element that burns oneself and others. And Buddha said, those who want to take revenge because of anger, those who want to take revenge is the most stupid person. Suppose you hurt a person and you take a fireball, you want to throw to that person. Before the fireball reaches that person, the fireball burn yourself first. Maybe sometimes the fireball not yet reach that person, but you burn yourself first. So those who want to take revenge is the most stupid person. But this anger, only hatred or anger, only can be uprooted by anagami. So if so long you have not yet attained anagami, you have plenty of time to get angry. And the result of anger is what? You know, what's the result if you get angry very often? What will be the result? Huh? You don't know. Huh? You will be very ugly in your next life. Huh? So in this life, you are not, if you are not very beautiful, you should know the cause. You should know the cause. Just like the king, Kusa King. Kusa King, the Jataka story, full of fun, the story. In one of Bodhisattva's life, you see, I try very hard to tell story. In one of Bodhisattva's life, he was a brother-in-law of Yasodhara. Only this life, they are not wife and husband. Many life, Yasodhara and Bodhisattva were wife and husband. But this life, Yasodhara is a sister-in-law of Bodhisattva. So this Yasodhara always prepared food for Bodhisattva. So one day, when she was taking her meal, a Paccheka Buddha came. Paccheka came for alms round. So at that time, half eating, of course, she cannot give what she has eaten and give the food to the Paccheka Buddha. So she took what she preserved for the Bodhisattva. So she took the Bodhisattva's food. At that time, Bodhisattva was out, not yet came back home. So she took the food offered to the Paccheka Buddha. At that moment, Bodhisattva came. If you see your food given to the Paccheka Buddha, what will you feel? What will you feel? Rejoice. But this life, I don't know why, Bodhisattva, he did not rejoice. He get very, very angry. So he get very angry. Why you give away my food to Paccheka Buddha? So with the anger, he took back all his food from the bowl. Took the food back. Yasodhara was very angry. You know, I offer this food, you took back. You know, you are such a mean person. So Yasodhara quickly went back to her mother's house and prepare some food and re-offer again to the Paccheka Buddha. Then she said, she prayed that by this dana, by this meritorious deed, may I be reborn with a golden complexion. And secondly, then she said, and I don't want to stay with this mean man forever. She prayed for that. So Bodhisattva, when he heard what she said, then she put all his food offer again to the Buddha, to the Paccheka Buddha. Just now he took it out. Now he offered again. Then he prayed. Because of this wrong praying, this Bodhisattva suffered a lot. So if you pray wrong, you suffer. He prayed that may this meritorious deed, no matter how far this lady go away, I must fetch her back. I must fetch her back and become my wife. Serve me. He prayed that. Okay. So after many times, when this karma ripened, this Bodhisattva become King Kusa. Very powerful king. But he was extremely ugly. Because of the anger, he took back the food which Yasodhara offered. Because of this anger, he became extremely ugly. I think enough. I don't want to tell the whole story. But he tried, and at that time also, Yasodhara became queen of another country. Extremely beautiful, with golden complexion. So her mother, Bodhisattva's mother, the King Kusa's mother, tried to arrange their marriage. But the King Kusa's mother also knew, if this queen saw my son's face, then she will quickly run away. So he made an agreement. She made an agreement. You cannot see my son. Unless Only you can see my son only after you give birth to a son. Then I will let you see my son. Okay, but somehow, now she happened to see the King Kusa's face. Then she immediately went back to her own country. And this king, because he had made a prayer, no matter how far you go, I must fetch you back. So this king suffered a lot in order to win her back. She pretend to be a porter, he pretend to be a cook in order to win her back. So this is the result of anger. And also it's the result of your wrong praying. If you pray with your husband, may a whole life long we are together, then next time if your husband is bad, you still have to live with him. Okay. I think you're now refreshed already. Huh? Okay, envy. Next one, envy. Characteristic of envy is being jealous of others or lack of appreciation of others' success and achievement. Just like Devadatta has a lot of envy towards the Buddha. The function is to be dissatisfied with that. Dissatisfied with other people's success. The manifestation, aversion towards that. And the proximate cause is others' success. This others' success including wealth, beauty, talent, education, and so on. The next one, stinginess, macharya. Most of people think stinginess is rooted in loba, greed. Actually, it's rooted in hatred. The characteristic of stinginess is hiding one's own success and achievement. The function, not to bear sharing this with others. Because of this one, the function, not to bear sharing this with others, thus is rooted in anger. At that moment, the resistance to share, to sharing one's belonging with others. This is the manifestation of meanness, which is rooted in anger. The proximate cause, one's own success. I have prepared one story. Do you want to listen?
Yes.
Okay, this one, during Buddha's time, this one very miserly rich man called Kosiya. Kosiya. One day, he and her wife wanted to make some pancakes. But because of their stinginess, they didn't want anybody see. So they hide in a corner to make the pancakes. At that time, the Lord Buddha using his psychic power. Sometimes Buddha will survey the world. Whoever come into his range, he know, oh, this two person is going to become enlightened person. So I must preach them Dhamma. And these two misery rich man and his wife appear in Buddha's vision. So Buddha asked Monggalana, go and bring these two back before meal, before lunchtime. So Monggalana, using psychic power, appeared outside the window of these two miserly rich man and his wife. So when this rich man, miserly rich man saw him, he asked him to leave. Asked Monggalana to leave because he's so stingy. He doesn't want to give anything. So he asked him, asked Monggalana, go away. But Monggalana did not care about his request. He remained there. So this stingy man has no choice. He asked his wife, offer little bit, take little bit dough and to make small amount of pancake. They have already made pancake, but he thinks too big to offer. So he asked his wife, take little bit dough to make a small pancake. So his wife take little bit. But the moment she put this dough into the pan was filled up full with the pancake because Monggalana using psychic power to fill it up. So this Mr. Man saw saw this big pancake, he thought his wife give too much. So he said, let me do myself. So he take a pinch of dal and put into the pan. But the pan also, the dal fill up the pan. So finally he said, okay lah, he feel too big to offer. He still feel too big to offer. So he want to go and take ready make pancake, to take little bit and offer to the Mangalana. So when he tried to take the ready made pancake, all the pancakes stuck together, cannot be separated. So it's so big to offer. He tried very hard to take little bit, but cannot. Finally he lost his appetite. Okay, I'll offer you all. So finally he offered all the pancake to Mangalana. Okay, after meal, Mangalana taught him Dhamma on charity. Then brought two of this wife and husband with the whole basket of pancake to the Buddha. Then the Buddha taught him Dhamma, both of them become Sotapan. You see, to teach Dhamma is so difficult, you know. We are helping others to become Sotapan, and yet now we have to try many means, ways to, the monk, is it the Buddha and the Mangalana, had to try many ways, method, even psychic power, to help people. Then the next one, worry, kukucha. The characteristic of worry is subsequent regret. Function to sorrow about what has or has not been done. So sometimes you have done something wrong. For example, before you become Buddhist, you may have, you know, kill animals, kill chicken, or you may have performed sensual misconduct and so on, stealing and so on. So now you become Buddhist, you know all these are unwholesome. So you feel regret. We call kukucha. Worry is not very good translation. Kukucha, you feel sorrow, you feel regret about what you have done wrong in the past. Or another one, you may feel sorrow about what you have not been done. For example, when your parents are alive, you do not serve them. Now they have already passed away. So you regret that you have not done your duty. The manifestation of worry as remorse. The proximate cause, what has or has not been done. So regret is not good for you. Whatever wrong deed you have performed, you should just forget it. Don't let this remorse happen in your mind again and again. If it happens in your mind again and again, during your dying moment, because of this remorse, you may die with the remorse, and you will be cast into one of the four woeful states. Just like the Queen Manika. Queen Manika, remorse one misdeed she has performed towards her husband. So always she feel remorse. And Queen Manika was a great supporter of Lord Buddha. She had performed so much dana to Arahant, to Buddha. So she should be reborn in the heaven when she passed away. But because of that remorse, over one misdeed she had performed, so after that, she was cast into hell. She was cast into hell. And the King Pasanadi was very sad because she loved Queen Manika very much. But King Pasanadi also has confidence that Queen Manika must be reborn in heaven. I think I have told this story to you already. He wanted to ask the Lord Buddha where the Queen Manika took her rebirth. So King Pasanadi went to monastery and asked the Buddha. And the Lord Buddha is such a skillful teacher. He knew today King Pasanadi is coming to ask me. I cannot tell him the truth. I cannot tell him your queen was reborn in hell. If I tell him the truth, the king will lose confidence in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, because his queen has performed so much dana and yet go to hell. What for I perform dana? So I cannot tell him the truth. And yet, he cannot tell lies. Buddha cannot tell lies. What to do? So Buddha used psychic power to let the king forgot to ask this question. Every day he come, Buddha used psychic power to let him forgot. Until 7 days. 7 days passed already, the king personality remember. Oh, I still not yet asked this question. I must ask him. After 7 days, Buddha say, your queen has been reborn in heaven. Because Queen Manika only cast down into hell for 7 days. So after 7 days, because of her good karma, dana and so on, she was reborn in heaven. At that time, Buddha can tell the truth. So this is the skillful of a teacher. So now we have studied hatred, envy, stinginess and worry. This envy, stinginess and worry are found in a type of consciousness associated with aversion only. Are rooted in aversion or anger. The next one, sloth and torpor. Sloth here mean refer to consciousness. Torpor here refer to mental factor. The characteristic of them are lacking of driving power. The function to remove energy, and the manifestation as shrinking of the mind. I think you experience this very often during your meditation. Even now listening to the Dhamma, if I do not insert story, then everybody nodding their head. And these two cetasika make the citta and mental factor dull and sluggish. The next one, doubt. The characteristic of doubt is doubting. The function is to waver. The manifestation as indecisiveness, and the proximate cause is unwise attention. When you are doubting, you are unable to decide. You are unable to decide whether it's good or bad. Just like in a crossroad, do not know which way to follow. Usually Westerner have a lot of doubt. Asian have a lot of faith. They listen, Asian people listen everything what teacher say. Westerner doubt everything what teacher say. So if they can balance, it will be very good. And here, not believing what ought to believe, such as the three training in morality, concentration and wisdom, or doubt about the three triple gems, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, all this belong to doubt. Okay, now we have finished all 14 unwholesome factors. Let us read one more time. Four unwholesome universes, delusion, shamelessness of wrongdoing, fearlessness of wrongdoing, restlessness. The 10 unwholesome occasions, greed, wrong view, conceit, hatred, envy, stinginess, worry, sloth, torpor, and doubt. Okay, let us take 10 minutes break.